Hello there, and welcome to the Man Panel 3. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson, and I'm thrilled that you're here to join me with a great lineup of extraordinary men who are here to serve you and to help you have important insights into the hearts and minds of men so that you can enjoy wonderful relationships with all of the men in your life, and especially with that one man that just may be your Mr. Right. And I'm thrilled to be welcoming back a returning guest. He's always a listener favorite. I consider him to be a great friend and really appreciate his presence here on the event. And that is the wonderful Ken Bechtel. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everyone.
So happy to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you.
Thank you for coming back. So, Ken, I know so many of the women here already know about you and your wonderful work and your wonderful podcast, but I want to give a bit of a formal introduction just in case, and then we'll jump right in.
Sounds good.
So, for over 20 years, Ken Bechtel, the creator of the Finding Success in Love program, has shared his insights and amusement as a speaker, educator, and relationship mentor to help women get their needs met and be loved for all their unique beauty. He brings you the real story from a man's perspective of what it takes to be adored by a great guy. We're excited to hear your thoughts on that. He's also the creator and host of the wildly popular Speaking of Partnership podcast that is heard in over 100 countries around the world. Ken interviews the world's leading relationship experts to learn about their personal stories of partnership, failure, and success. You can learn more about Ken at kenbechtel.com. We'll also let you know more about how you can stay connected with Ken, too, at the end of our conversation. So, Ken, I love our topic for today. I know this is a really important and intriguing topic, which is a healthy relationship with a sexy, committed, and secure man is closer than you think. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I wonder if you can start just by telling us why you chose this topic, and then we'll jump right in and you can share some of your insights on this.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, the reason I chose this topic, Michelle, is in my work with women, I find a lot of the time there's this belief that finding a guy is going to be this huge epic project. And it's so far away, or they've made so many mistakes that they have to equally spend as much time unraveling those mistakes as they did making them, as if it's an equal equation. And what happens is then we start making that real. So we won't let ourselves be open to having somebody in our life because we haven't done enough yet. We're not perfect yet. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the guys you're looking for around you all the time, it's whether you're open to receiving them. And I witness this all the time with my clients. So it's a matter of actually starting from that position of they're actually here. It's not this imaginary, it's not a unicorn. The guy you're looking for is not a unicorn. He's not mythical. Because as long as you believe he's a unicorn, you won't see him, just like you won't see a unicorn. Mm-hmm. You have just decided in your mind he doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that perspective, because sometimes it does feel like for many women, it in their minds, it feels like maybe he is a unicorn. So mm-hmm. I appreciate you starting with that. And besides that belief that he's not a unicorn, that he's really out there, what are some of the other things that you think are required for a woman to have this kind of relationship with a healthy man?
You know, I mean, we talk about this all the time, right? Is, you know, obviously you got to start from within, and that's part of it. But the other part is how you show up. And if you're playing the games, if you're out there doing, oh, I have to do this little strategy or this little technique or flirt this way, what happens is you're only asking him to be interested in that version of you, which isn't the real version of you. And so you set yourself up in a trap because, oh, I got his attention. He wants to take me out. Now you start to go, but does he want to take me out or that person I was trying to be to get his attention? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're not knowing when you can actually show up as you, because you're not sure he's even interested in you. You haven't presented that yet.
Right.
And so we get ourselves in this trap, and the further you go down the relationship, the harder it is to get out of it, because now there's a consequence. Well, now I really like this guy. I'm still not sure if he really likes the real me. Mm-hmm. Do I show these aspects of me to him? Because the longer you go, the bigger the risk it is. What if I show this thing and he doesn't like it? Now I lose out. So you're building it on a falsehood. And unfortunately, there's so many people out there giving advice to do this to get the date. It's like, no, then you founded your entire relationship on a falsehood. Mm-hmm. And my belief and what I work with clients on is, would you rather build your relationship on facts or fiction? Mm-hmm. And it's both you being you, but also asking what you need from him.
Right.
Because he's not going to know. Right. The way I describe it is this: if you don't show up as you, all he's left to do is guess what you need based on his past experiences. Because you're another woman, so maybe you have the same needs. And what ends up happening is you feel invalidated, because you're like, seriously, you did that because your ex likes this? Yeah, that's him desperately trying to do what would make you happy, but you haven't contributed anything, so he's going with what he's got. So you've got to show up as your best self from the beginning. Not your best contorted, hypothetical, artificial version of yourself that somebody told you is what men are looking for. Mm-hmm. But the real you. That's how you find the guy who's actually a match. Otherwise, you might find a guy that likes you, but he doesn't really like you because you're not even in the game yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is so important and really profound what you're talking about here, Ken, because I think there is a lot of advice out there that almost feels like manipulation mm-hmm. in one way, and it also feels inauthentic. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, I know you speak to people all the time in your podcasts and with your clients, but I think at the end of the day, what we all deeply desire is to be loved for who we actually are. And if we're not actually showing up as that real authentic self, how can someone love us for that? They don't even know who we are. And I think that we spend so much of our time in life as human beings, and I'm speaking in general here, trying to avoid looking bad and to try to look good in ways that we think will be more acceptable or more appreciated by other people. And one of the ironies, I believe, is that it's actually our authenticity and our vulnerability, and I know these are buzzwords right now, but I think it's important, that makes us in so many ways real and relatable.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of, you know, the ladies that have signed in for this that are watching right now, part of why you're here is you want to understand how men are thinking. What are we going through? Well, one of the things that women don't necessarily understand about men is we want to know you. We don't want to know some generic version you've been told that all men like. That might be entertaining for a little while, but it's not going to keep our attention. So when you hold back the real you, it gets boring really quick. It's like you're now just like so many other people. So one of the things that I always ask my clients, I say, would you rather be loved right down to your toes, completely inside and out, madly loved by a man, or have hundreds of men who like you? Because what you're doing is setting yourself up to be liked by hundreds of men. Your job is not to go look for men. Your job is to sort through the men. The faster you can sort through them, the better. I actually did the numbers on this. I don't remember them in detail, but I'll give you a rough estimate.
Okay. So
looking at, you know, people are like, well, you know, I got to keep going out there and it's a numbers thing. If you literally, as an average American woman, you live to be, I think it's 76 years old is what they say right now. If you dated a different man every second of your life from birth until death, there would still be a billion men you didn't get a date. You can't do the searching thing. You've got to cut out big groups quickly. And the way you do that is by being yourself. So when you're yourself, they do the work. Now they either opt in or opt out. And it's not a judgment. It's just not a match.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, yeah, you're like nice lady, but there's not a match here. And when we can just go, okay, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It simply means he wasn't a match. Awesome. The sooner I find that out, the better. We're sorting as fast as we can. So think of it this way. Imagine you went to go buy a pair of shoes. And you're at the store and you find these shoes and they are adorable. They're the cutest shoes in the world. And you get them and I wear 7.5. The guy brings out 7.5, puts it on. Your foot doesn't even fit. You're like, this can't be a 7.5. No, that's the 7.5. Well, do you have an 8? No. Do you have anything else? No. That's the only one, the last one we have. And you sit there and you go, it's so cute. I want the shoe. But you know it doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you buy it?
Hopefully not.
When you get it home, you're never going to wear it because you won't even get out of your living room before your feet will be aching. Or do you just go, it's not a match. Okay, as much as I like that shoe, I know there's other shoes. I'm going to find one that matches. Now, I know for certain that many of you listening bought the shoe that didn't fit. You have it in your closet. You may have actually tried to wear it and had to take your shoes off halfway through the night because your feet were just aching. Mm-hmm. I've witnessed this. This is the same thing you're doing in your relationships. If it's not a match, it doesn't make the shoe wrong. It doesn't make your foot wrong. It's just not a match. There's lots of other shoes. So we get to choose. Do we try and squeeze ourselves into this shoe and make it happen anyhow? And it didn't work in the first place when you first put it on. Why would it keep getting any better? That's the myth, right? Oh, it'll stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The shoe's going to stretch. It'll feel better. No, go get the one that fits now. And that's by sorting, just like the shoe store. You put on all these shoes to find the one that fits. This is how you need to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really resonate with this, Ken. I want to ask a question, though, that I think might be in the minds of some women, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I know for a lot of women, we understand and we know that sometimes for us attraction to a man can increase and develop over time.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not initially a lot of chemistry, that's something that can develop. And I don't know if that's true for men. You can speak to that a little, but my real question is, how do we balance that, knowing that, and also balance with the sorting idea? Because it's like we want to find this balance of giving people a chance, but not investing too much time if something really doesn't have potential. I think you understand where I'm coming from with this, although I may not have said it as clearly as I hoped.
No, this is fabulous. So, first of all, chemistry is a disaster. Chemistry is a death knell of your relationship because you will contort yourself like a mad person,
mm-hmm.
if you think there's chemistry there. You will do anything to keep that going because chemistry is a primal experience. It's not actually you being present. Actually, typically what chemistry experience is, you're terribly excited, you got all these amazing feelings going on, and you're totally out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally ungrounded, you've lost yourself like that. So it becomes a drug that you'll do anything for, just like a junkie. This is why you put up with horrible behavior. You make excuses for it. You don't own what you need. You don't set your boundaries. You don't respect yourself because I need another hit. Chemistry is a disaster. Here's what I recommend. One, the biggest key, this is the ultimate key in finding Mr. Right. It is pay attention to how you feel when you're with a man. It has nothing to do with what he looks like, what his job is, where he's lived, if he was married before, if he has kids. None of that matters. The feeling of Mr. Right is the feeling that you have when you're present with him. Do you feel safe? Do you feel free to be yourself? Do you feel secure? All those things. When you let go of the forms and you pay attention to the feelings, that is when you will find Mr. Right. Now, the key to all this is you've got to really be honest about those, because your feelings are inarguable. However you feel, you feel. There's not, nobody can argue with, I mean, they could, but it'd be kind of ridiculous to argue and say, you don't feel sad. I mean, that's silly. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be honest with yourself. I was working with a client yesterday and we were doing some work around this. And I said, well, how does that make you feel? And she started saying things. She goes, I want to say safe, but that doesn't make sense. And I explained to her, feelings aren't rational. Feelings happen in your heart, not in your head. So if you find your head trying to rationalize or make sure that's appropriate, there is no appropriate. It's a feeling. Why do people cry at funerals? Why do people laugh at funerals? It's not appropriate, but some people do. Mm-hmm. It's just the feeling they're having. It's not right or wrong. That's what actually allows you to know, do I keep going here? If I don't feel good with the guy, he could look like $1 million, check every box, and I feel the whole time I'm with him. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change. It's a feeling. You can deny it, but it won't actually change. It'll still be underneath. So this is how you can tell the difference. A good friend of mine, Ken Page, which I know you've had on the summit before, he has a great line. He said, don't dismiss relationships because they start off warm instead of hot. Mm-hmm. We've got this whole belief that it's got to be like fireworks and oh my God, it's the most magical thing. That's chemistry. Run as fast as you can. You have just left your body. You have no idea who you are anymore. And you will do absolutely anything to make that keep going because you just got hooked on crack. Mm-hmm. You basically just became a junkie. And you will let yourself be treated like dirt for that hit. It's just how we're wired. So know that that's actually a warning sign. It doesn't mean that you don't still have chemistry, meaning that you feel amazing with someone. But it's not going to be the kind of amazing that has you leave your body and totally lose your grounding and not know who you are anymore. That's a healthy environment.
Yeah, in fact, I wrote once a piece about this for datingadvice.com called The Woes and Wonders of the Whirlwind Romance.
Nice alliteration.
And I talked about the chemistry piece and how these relationships that start out like a blazing bonfire usually end up with us lying there in the dust, smoke, and ashes wondering what in the world happened, right? Yeah. Because chemistry can be very deceptive. And I want to be clear here, and I know you said this, Ken, but just to back you up, we're not saying you're not going to have attraction and that you're not going to have chemistry. But the Ken Page line that you quoted there was perfect because, like with my husband, for example, our relationship started out more like warm and grew to hot, whereas the person in my life that I dated and we were completely unsuited for each other was a disastrous relationship, started out with that heat and that chemistry, but at the end of the day, we were two totally, totally incompatible people. It was an absolute disaster.
and we've all been there. We've all been there. And one thing I want to add, Michelle, is ladies, I really invite you to pay attention to this because I hear this from women all the time. I wanted to start out as friendship and build into something, but I want chemistry. You have conflicting interests. So you're automatically making sure you won't meet anyone because you're not going to have fireworks chemistry with your friend.
Right.
You won't see them as a friend. You'll see them as it's going too fast. So when you operate from that belief, you've got to get clear on what you really want. Because here's the thing, there's a difference between chemistry, like I said, where you totally leave your body, you're ungrounded, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's amazing when he touches me, my whole body tingles. Awesome. You can still have that and be totally grounded. Now you found a match. Because this is supporting you in being your best while you have that amazing experience of their presence. That's what you're looking for. And if you haven't ever found it and you're like, well, that sounds like a fairy tale, well, then you won't find it because you won't believe it's true. It's a unicorn. You just turned it into a unicorn. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many women I've talked to and they're like, I met this guy and blah, 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 blah. He seems like a unicorn. So they're automatically dismissing him, even though he's what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Because they've created this idea that I could never have it, the old too good to be true. So again, if you're doing that, you're just tripping yourself up. When I first got out of college, this is kind of funny, but related, because, you know, it is kind of an interview process, right? I mean, we are vetting a person to see if they're a match.
Right.
And I remember getting out of school, and I had spent my last semester of school in Europe, studying in Austria. And so, unlike most students, I couldn't interview. I was on the other side of the planet. So I got back to the States, started doing interviews. And I would be sitting there with the interviewer, and they're looking at my resume, and they're like, well, you have an excellent resume. You have a good GPA, you have internships, you studied abroad. Why don't you have a job yet? Well, I was overseas. I couldn't interview. And you could just see them going, this is too good to be true. He should have had a job, so there must be something I'm missing that's wrong with him. And I don't want to be the guy that brings him on, and then I didn't see the thing that was wrong with him. Mm-hmm. What you're doing in your head when you think too good to be true. No, he's just good. This is a good guy. This is a match. Let's explore it. Not from the way of, where am I looking for the red? I'm going to find a red flag because there's something wrong with him. If you take that approach, that's when your instincts have gone overboard. So it's no longer protecting you. Now it's restricting you. Mm-hmm. So you went from going, oh, that's a bad situation right now, I can't be there because that would be painful, to there's the possibility of a situation turning painful, so I won't go there either. Mm-hmm. Because think about this. In a dating relationship, nobody wants to get their heart broke. But if you avoid the possibility of getting your heart broke, you'll never date anyone because there's always the possibility of getting your heart broke.
Right.
So you just excluded yourself. And you will always find a reason not to date. There's always a flaw. Well, this could be coming down the pipe. Yeah. And it also might not. But you won't ever find out. That possibility never goes away. In order to be loved, you have to risk. There is no way you can do one without the other. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so true and such an important point. So I think along with sometimes women thinking that the right man out there is like the unicorn, I think another challenge that a lot of women face, and I want to hear your perspective on this, is that we're somehow so unique. We're so successful, or we're so too much this or not enough that, that there's not anyone that is going to be attracted to us or is going to be compatible with us. And I think that's a myth, but I also think that a lot of women have a belief around some of that might differ from person to person. But what would you say about that, Ken?
Yeah, that's a great direction, because what I see with that is that's a protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. So instead of going, I'm not enough, I'm too much. No one can handle my success. I'm too intelligent. Men don't like intelligent women. There's all these different phrases that get thrown around. Here's the thing I always ask folks, what's your sample group? Because what happens is we take an exception and we make it a rule. Well, this one guy, he couldn't handle this. He told me he just couldn't handle my success. So I guess no guys can handle my success. Because one guy couldn't? Statistically, that's not even a relevant sample. We have 3.5 billion men. And you're going on 1 or 10? 10 doesn't count either. If you haven't sampled at least, like, I don't even know what would be considered relevant. Probably 100,000. And I guarantee you nobody out there listening right now has dated 100,000 men. You don't have a relevant sample to make a blanket comment. So yes, maybe that person didn't like that. And that hurt. And so you make this blanket comment to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. The reality is, this is how you're excluding yourself from possibility. And if you focus on what you don't want, that's all you're going to see.
Yeah.
People that I talk to, all they're doing is avoiding what they don't want. And avoiding is a 24/7 job. You can never stop doing it. So guess what? That's all you're going to see. Mm-hmm. You're constantly going to be like, I got to make sure there aren't any out there. So all your attention is going to the things you don't want. And the guy you want is sitting right next to you, but you can't see him because you're too busy looking for the one you don't want. It's totally how our brains work. You've got to choose the direction you're going. And if you're just avoiding, and that's what you just described there, Michelle, is another way to avoid. Oh, well, guys can't handle this. I'm too much. Nobody really wants what I'm so successful that it scares men.
Yeah, they're intimidated.
I promise you, it does not scare most men. But it scared somebody you wanted to be the guy. And so you got hurt. And you said, I know how to protect myself. I'll just decide all men are like this. Okay, game over. You just pulled yourself. You can do all the dating you want, but if you're engaged at that level, you may as well quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this comes back to what we kind of started with, which is showing up in an authentic way, in a real way. It also reminds me of this quote, I believe that's by Brené Brown, that says, there is no intimacy without vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And even if we've been hurt, we still have to remain open. And like you said, realize that loving or being in intimacy or in a relationship it brings with it a certain amount of inherent risk. But we can't have that intimacy that we most deeply desire without that risk. And then another important thing that you said there, Ken, was that so often we're focused on what we don't want, right? And so that brings me to another question I want to ask you. What do you think about the idea that we need to be more clear about what we do want and not so focused on what we don't want? Because I believe that a lot of women think they have a deep level of clarity about what is really important to them, and not just a huge list of every possible thing they can think of, but what is really important to them. But I don't believe a lot of women have that deep level of clarity to the level that they think they do.
Yeah, and I'll just ask the ladies listening right now. Ask yourself, ladies. Right now, can you tell me your deal breakers? In a heartbeat, right? No question. Can you tell me what makes you happy? No, you will give me vague answers. Well, when he's nice, when he's respectful, but you gave me specific things about what you don't want. This is where we put so much energy into what we don't want. To Michelle's point, where are you putting your energy? Here's the thing about avoiding. Like I said, it's a 24/7 job. That means it takes all your energy. You have no energy left to create with. Literally, when I work with women and we transform this and we shift that momentum so they're focusing on what they do want instead of what they don't, you're so sophisticated at what you don't want, you'll start focusing on what you don't want in positive ways.
Ken, so I'm sorry.
And I'll say, so what do you want instead? Well, I want him to not be this. That's still what you don't want. You can't want him to not be that. What do you want? What's the thing that you do want? Just saying that phrase made me think of this. So I'm guessing just about everybody watching this has seen the movie The Notebook. So there is an amazing scene in that movie that most people miss the power of that scene. And it's a scene where Noah and I think her name's Allie. Yeah, Allie are leaving his house and her fiance showing up in town and she's trying to figure out what's going on. And he's like, they're having this big argument and he's like, stay with me. And she's like, we're fighting. Why? That's all we do. And he goes, that's what we do. I want you. I want all of this. And he totally says how much he loves her no matter what. And then he goes, can I ask you a question? What do you want? What do you want? And he says, literally, if you want him, I can live through that. I lost you before. What do you want? And her answer is, it's not that easy. Other people, he goes, stop worrying about other people. What do you want? And she can't answer. She literally shakes her head. She's so terrified of owning what she wants. She gets in the car and drives off crying. This is how hardwired it is when our instinct is taken over. And we don't even know that we're 100% focused on what we don't want all the time. And we won't even let ourselves go to what we do want. It's unbelievably powerful. And what it is literally that instinct of self-preservation has gone overboard. It's gone way past where it's serving you anymore. And it takes very specific work to shift that, because it is, it's a preservation thing. It's your instincts. And here's the thing, when you're operating from your instincts, it's impossible to be in partnership, because your instincts are about the self. You don't care about anybody else when you're in self-preservation. That's what's happening. When our instincts are driving the bus, we don't care who we run over to get there. Mm-hmm. That's what happens in our relationships. So it's literally transforming this. And it takes some work, because you've probably been avoiding things for a very long time. And the unfortunate thing is we start stacking this up and we have all this evidence of why we need to avoid this. Great, but what's more effective? Avoiding it or going to what we do want? It's like if you went to the restaurant and the waiter comes over and says, what would you like to order? And you start reading off everything you don't want to eat, because you're avoiding those things. That's where all your attention's going. Now, yeah, eventually you're going to have eliminated all the things you don't want. And then you will be able to tell him what you do want. But that's the longest possible route to your goal. But that's what you're doing in a day-to-day basis. So you've got to transform that. Absolutely have to. Or else you'll just keep going down the same path and all you'll see is what you don't want. And this is why we all hear these statements. All men fill in the blank. Whatever you got hurt by. All men are narcissists. That's impossible. All men are only interested in whatever. All these things, nothing is all. As soon as you start a phrase with all whatever, it's a lie. It's already out of integrity, because it's not true. Nothing is all. Mm-hmm. So we've got to watch our words. We've got to watch our mindset, because that's the most powerful piece in creation. It's the old Henry Ford statement, you know, if you think you're right or you think you're wrong, you're right. Whatever you decide is true. You're going to create that reality.
Yeah.
So I know it sounds kind of woo-woo-ish. And what I want you to recognize is there's no opting out of this. It's how the universe works. It's like you don't get to choose if you want gravity to work for you or not, do you? No matter if you believe in gravity, you still fall to the ground if you jump off a building. Same thing with attraction. You don't get to opt out of it. And people say, it doesn't work for me. No, it does. You're just not owning the fact that you're focused on what you don't want. So what are you manifesting? What you don't want. It's working perfectly. You just have to redirect how you use it. And that's where most of us go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm ranting today. Am I ranting today?
I love it.
Oh, because
you're dropping truth bombs.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes it's kind of like we don't even see or recognize this stuff and how it's operating in our own lives. It's kind of like the hard drive in the computer. You may not see it, but it's running the whole show. And right. So what we're, I think, inviting here is to bring these things to the surface on a deeper, and bring things that are on a deeper level into our awareness so that we can be in choice about how we're navigating and operating in the world, how we're showing up, and not just let that default programming that comes from who knows what, from childhood, from past hurts in past relationships, totally overtake what's happening in the present. So Ken, I know we're talking about some really important things here about knowing what you want, focusing on what you want, and not so much on what you don't want. But I want to refer back to something that you said at the beginning of this conversation, which is the importance of being able to express and ask for what you want, specifically in your interactions and relationships with men. And I've heard you say before that men are not mind readers, and that men don't speak. Mm. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Why doesn't he know this is important to me? Because he's not a woman. So he doesn't have that same need. So the way I always look at it is, if you, just every one of you watching right now, if you imagine you're a woman, well, you are a woman. If you imagine you're a rose, so you're a flower, right? And every rose needs, you know, water and sunlight and certain temperatures and certain nutrients in the soil. That's what it needs so it can bloom. If it doesn't get those needs, it doesn't bloom. There's not a, it can kind of, it doesn't bloom. It has to have those things. And as soon as it gets them, it's just like, I mean, spring, right? As soon as you get the right temperatures, boom, everything blooms. Why? Because its need was met. That's what's going on with you. If your needs aren't being met, you can't bloom. But he doesn't know what your needs are because he's not a rose. And even if he was, there's different types of roses. Some roses need water, some need more sunlight, some work in this temperature, some in another temperature. So you can't even assume that he would know exactly what that is, even if he was a rose. Now, here's the real challenge. This is why it's so important. I mentioned earlier, if you don't speak up for what you need, you'll be interacted with based on his past experiences. So imagine that you just met a great guy, and he grew up in the desert. So he never saw a rose before. He was surrounded by cactuses. So he meets you, you're going along, and if you don't let him know what you need as a rose, he's going to look at you and go, it's another green thorny plant, pretty similar, probably has similar needs. And he's going to treat you like a cactus. Now, if you were treated like a cactus, you're a rose, but he's giving you extreme temperatures, crazy heat, hardly any water, are you going to bloom? No. He has no idea. He's doing the best he can with what he has. He's not doing it to insult you. He's doing it because he wants to make you happy, but that's all he knows. It's on you to let him know, what do you need? And by the your needs being different than the cactus, that doesn't make you needy. It's just what you need. It's required for you to be your best. That's the whole key. We want you to be happy, but we're horrible, horrible, horrible guessers. And because our needs are not the same as yours, why would we guess that? Oftentimes things you need to us would be horrible. So we're certainly not going to offer something that for us is horrible, because we don't want to give you horrible stuff. But then the other happens, right? So we give what works for us, and to you it's horrible. And you think we're these insensitive idiots. We just don't have the information we need to be your partner. So your part in partnership is being clear about your needs and knowing that you deserve, you're worthy of every need you have. You don't have to earn them. Just like that rose, it doesn't have to do some work so it can get water. It's what it needs to bloom. And just know that if you're not blooming, I mean, how many times have you stopped and admired a rose bush with no blooms? Not that interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes for you. You are in charge of you blooming by educating him on what you need. Now he can be your partner and support you in blooming. But until then, you can't really blame him. He's just working with what he's got. And he doesn't have what you need because he doesn't know yet. Now, he could stumble across something that was the same as an ex. And then you'll be like, see, I knew he knew everything I needed. And you'll turn it into this rule that, see, he knew the whole time. He was just holding out. No, he just stumbled across it. There happened to be some similarities, but it's not going to be universal. So you've got to own those needs. And if you don't feel worthy of those needs, that's your big problem. Because that's why we don't speak up about our needs. We're afraid somebody will go, well, what makes you think you deserve that? We're terrified of that question. So until you feel worthy of those needs, it's not going to get you there. You've got to feel worthy so you can own what they are. And ladies, please know that I love each and every one of you. This is why I do this work, because there's so many amazing gifts that you have inside of you that aren't getting revealed, that the world's missing out on, men are missing out on, you're missing out on the men that will love those gifts. It's a nightmare. So my passion is helping you with this. And please understand this. This event that Michelle's put together is amazing. But understand, this is like going to the grocery store and getting free samples of different food. You cannot make a gourmet meal out of free samples. you've got to decide, oh, what's the thing I want to actually dig deeper into? Because I promise you, you can watch all these videos and you'll get all kinds of amazing information. And then you'll be like, they don't seem to go together. No, they're not designed to go together. You need to get true for yourself. What is going on for me? What do I need to work on? Then I need to go down that path and pursue that maybe with a certain expert or what have you. Because without it, you're going to be trying to make a gourmet meal out of samples from the grocery store. And there's not enough of it. And it wasn't ever meant to go together. It will not happen. So just know that. This is not meant to be like, oh, I'll listen to all these interviews and I'll have everything solved. It would be impossible. So please know this is your opportunity to go, what do I need to work on? I'm committed to being in partnership. So I'm going to get support. I just read an article on the 7 traits of highly successful women. And the second trait they mentioned was that successful women seek assistance. They know they can't do it by themselves, and they're brave in asking for assistance and openly receiving it. It's a key to success. You do it in other areas of your life. Don't let yourself sell yourself short in your personal life. So many times we think, oh, if it's meant to happen, I shouldn't need any help. That's total BS. If you want to have an amazing relationship with a man and you're not getting there on your own, get some help. That's why we're here. So please know this. You are so incredible. You have so much to offer. And we've just got these roadblocks that are in the way right now. And once those get moved out, magic happens.
Yeah, that was very well said, Ken. And I really appreciate the gems of wisdom that you've shared throughout this whole conversation. It's been really important. And I think what you're talking about is this is an opportunity for each of the listeners here to bring into awareness some areas or some opportunities so that they can move forward on the path to having what they want. That's what I stand for in the world. That's why I do what I do. And that's why you do what you do. And we are just here to take a stand for you and to hold that possibility out there for you in our hearts. We're grateful for your presence and for your desire to learn more about this, because if you didn't have that, you didn't have that desire to have a great relationship, you probably wouldn't be here. So we appreciate each and every one of you for your presence.
Absolutely.
And Ken, I know that so many of the women will want to stay in contact with you. And I know we've just barely been able to touch the surface of what you have to share in our conversation today. And I know you have this really great free gift. And so do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. Because what I decided to do this time around was actually provide you with some additional training. So I put together an online training that you'll see the little gift box or however Michelle's put it on the screen here. And when you click on that, it's just going to have you sign up for, it's a webinar. It's an online training. It's about 45, 50 minutes, I think. Maybe a little longer. I don't remember exactly, but what it's going to do is walk you through these key components of what needs to be shifted, what you need to transform in order to be able to show up as your best self. And you're probably going to hear some things that you heard today because they're vital. These are the foundations of what's required to actually be in true partnership and attract the kind of man that's a match. Like I was talking about the shoe store, right? The one that really fits. And it's not about you being somebody you're not. That's the last thing I want you to be. What I'm aware of is you have amazing gifts inside. So this training walks through the steps that need to be taken so you can bring those gifts forward. Then the men who have been looking for you, and I literally have had guys say this, where have you been hiding? They can't believe you've been hiding these amazing aspects of you, because to them, they're precious. That's why it's so important to let yourself bloom. So this training will take you through that. I think it's fantastic, and I think you will too.
Thank you, Ken. And I think it's great to be biased toward your own work, right?
Absolutely.
It's like we're talking about, if you don't believe in you and you don't believe in what you have to offer, who else is going to believe it? So yeah. I'm sure it is fantastic. And ladies, you can just click on the link right below the audio or video that you're listening from right now or watching from, and that will connect you directly to Ken's free gift, which will be available throughout the rest of the event. But make sure you do it now because you don't want to miss out. And I know so many of you are going to resonate with and want to stay connected with Ken. So Ken, in just a moment, I'll have you leave us with the last word and before we wrap up. But I also want to invite the ladies to also scroll down on the page and take a look at the VIP package, which includes all of the audio and video recordings from this event, as well as some additional bonuses, including some additional trainings and opportunities directly with me as well. And I would love to connect with you on a deeper level too. So take a look at that. And Ken, I want to let you have the last word today before we wrap up.
Well, thank you. So I'd like to leave you with an example of what can happen when you make these transformations. Because again, what I'm sharing with you is what I know personally as a man and from working with men of what we're looking for, right? So we want the real you. That's who we're interested in. And when you embrace that, when you actually own what you need so you can be your best and blossom and bring that best self forward, you'll be amazed what happens. So I'm going to give you the example of a woman I worked with named Lisa. So when I met Lisa, she told me this. She said, my ex-husband literally said to me, there's a room inside of you that you got locked down and nobody goes in there. And she goes, you're totally right. And I noticed I said ex-husband. Right? That doesn't work. So that's what we focused on, is what were those things she was holding back on? And we dove in and did the work and opened that. And the way we joked about it, we said, we didn't just unlock the door. We took the door off so it can never be locked again. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, it was so funny. It was her birthday and she was going to a birthday party that a friend was throwing for her. So she was going to see a bunch of people she'd known for years. And one of the things that happened was she had reconnected with her love for music, which is one of the things she had locked away because she thought it was just, I'm not a musician. Why should I be doing music? But she loved it. And she'd made a commitment to herself to do a number of, like, to practice every day. So she took her guitar to the party because it was a weekend and people were staying over. And she goes, I kind of felt weird about it, but I decided, why not? I'm going to take my guitar. So sure enough, the first day they're there, they all have their big party. And the next day people are kind of getting around in the house and she gets her guitar out and starts playing. And literally everybody's like, we had no idea you played the guitar. They'd known her for like since college and had no idea she played the guitar. And she's quite good. Well, long story short, one of the guys there who, again, she'd known for years and years, they started chatting and what have you. And he's one of the guys that literally said to her, where have you been hiding? And they've since started dating. She knew him for 20 plus years. And she literally told me, she goes, I always thought he was interesting, but nothing really came of it. Well, yeah, because she was hiding what was interesting about her. So he didn't know there was something like, wow, this is amazing there. This is what happens when you've got to bring that up. Yeah, is there a risk? He could have thought that's the weirdest thing ever. Okay, you just sorted. Awesome. So know that this is what happens when you show up that way. Now you're interesting, because remember, every time a man interacts with you, he's risking being rejected. You have to give him a reason to risk. And if you're like everybody else, there's no reason. Why would I go risk on something I can go anywhere and find? But when they see that magic, when they see the real you and they're like, wow, they'll risk anything. That's the key. So know that this is what we're talking about. That's the outcome. That's the end of the story, is then you find this person and they're like, you're magic. I want to support you in you being that person that you just brought out. That's partnership. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Ken. I really appreciate all you've shared today. And that's a beautiful way to wrap up. And I know that this is going to be so beneficial to so many women out there. So thank you for your generosity.
And for you're very, very welcome.
And ladies, thank you so much for being here. Again, be sure to pick up Ken's gift, and we'll see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.